Good morning and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, partner in charge of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our special guest this morning is Michael Montelongo, Assistant Secretary of the Air Force for Financial Management and Comptroller. Good morning, Mike.
Morning, Paul. It's great to be here.
And joining us is Glenn Graham. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning.
Well, Michael, let's start at the sort of the context. Could you tell us about the Office for Financial Management and Comptroller and how it supports the mission of the U.S. Air Force?
Well, first of all, let me begin by saying thanks to you and the IBM team for doing what you're doing. In other words, giving your listeners really the insights of what government is doing to deliver more value to the American taxpayer. So I really applaud you for doing that. Let me then answer your question, and that is that the Air Force, the United States Air Force, the United States Air Force that serves the American public is designed to protect the interests of the United States, to defend the interests of the United States using air and space power. And what our role is as financial managers is to primarily deliver the resources that the Air Force needs, the financial management services that the Air Force needs to accomplish that mission.
Mike, can you tell us a little about your role as the Chief Financial Officer of the Air Force?
Well, it really stems from what I had just said, Glenn, and that is that we're primarily involved in delivering financial management services and analytical services to the Air Force at large. And then I have the additional role as being the primary advisor, financial advisor, to the Secretary of the Air Force, Jim Roach, who's my boss, and my other boss, who is the Chief of Staff of the Air Force, John Jumper. And I also provide that kind of advice and counsel, financial resource advice and counsel, to other senior leaders of the Air Force.
What's the size and scope of your organization as you carry out those functions?
Let me just to put it in context to say that the Air Force is one of perhaps three or four business units, if I could use that lexicon or that sort of metaphor analog, in the Department of Defense, which is basically in many ways the oldest, largest, busiest, and some might arguably say the most successful organization on the planet. As far as the Air Force is concerned, we have something to the neighborhood of about 700,000 professionals that span the active duty, reserve, guard, and civilians that do the work of the United States Air Force. When you look at what we are involved in some ways you can describe us as the largest airline on the planet. We have a fleet of something like 6,000 aircraft, which is larger than really the fleets of Southwest, Northwest, Continental, United, American, and Delta Airlines combined. Of course, our aircraft is specialized, too, as you might imagine. And when you also compare us to the personnel, budget, and asset base of other companies, when I just told you that we have a total of about 700,000 or so people, frankly, that's more than IBM and General Motors combined. And I think it's only Walmart that exceeds the number of people employed that that we have. And in terms of budget, just recently, I guess in this current budget cycle, we have something to the tune of about a little over $120 billion. And when you compare that to the revenue base of, say, the largest six air carriers or airline carriers, we exceed that. And we also exceed the asset base of those carriers by a good amount. So we are a fairly sizable organization.
Well, that's great. Can you tell us a little about your previous work experience prior to becoming this Chief Financial Officer and how that work experience prepared you for your current position?
Well, I began public service quite early as a lieutenant in the United States Army. And this, well, I guess I won't tell you how long ago that was. But that's how I started and did, frankly, a full career before I decided that it was time to then pursue another chapter in my journey. And from there, from after doing a career in the Army, then went into the private sector, starting first in the telco industry, and then moving on into the consulting industry. And then this opportunity had come up, and I was frankly very fortunate to have the opportunity and privilege to join the administration and to serve in this capacity.
How different is that experience compared to the typical commercial sector experience?
Well, you know, in many ways, it is quite comparable. And I think that, as you have noted in previous conversations that you've had and with other government officials, I think that they would probably tell you the same, that it's quite comparable in many ways. Where it differs, I think, is clearly in the fact that we don't have a profit motive. It differs in the fact that the scale, as I just tried to paint for you, is quite different. And the cost of not performing, in particularly in this area, in this context, in the Department of Defense, in the business units of the Department of Defense, whether it's Air Force, Army, Navy, or Marines, the cost of not performing is proportionately, I think, higher than it would be, say, in the commercial sector. Because here we're talking about the national defense. We're talking about lives at stake. We're talking about defending the nation's basic democratic principles and values. And so in that regard, the stakes are much higher. But even though we don't have a profit motive, we still have the pressure to perform. We have the pressure to succeed and win. There still are increasing demands for accountability, efficiency, and effectiveness and productivity. In some ways, I guess you could say that we have a CEO who's the President of the United States, and we have a board of directors, which is the United States Congress, as opposed to maybe 15 or so. We have 535, which makes things quite interesting, as you might imagine. And our shareholders are the American public. And I think that in some ways, one could arguably say that our shareholders are every bit, our shareholders and board of directors are every bit as demanding as any corporation stockholders or board of directors.
Yeah, I appreciate that analogy. That's a neat way of looking at things. What's been your greatest challenge in your role?
I'm not sure that I could, as I think about that, I'm not sure that I could necessarily limit it to a single challenge, because government, public service in and of itself, I think, poses some very complex challenges. And I think, and this is not necessarily a judgment call, but I think if from the perspective that I see it, doing this in the Department of Defense, I think, makes it even that much more challenging and complicated sometimes. But I'll tell you, as I think about it, maybe the way I would characterize it is that each day I have to fight the tyranny of the urgent versus the important. And that is, and I think you can relate to this, I mean, oftentimes I find that the urgent is always crowding out the important. And another way of perhaps manifesting this comparison between the urgent and the important is that I tell my folks that each and every day we are involved in building the airplane while we're flying it. We have to operate while also being mindful of creating the future. We don't have the luxury. We just went through the finals here, with the NBA finals with the Lakers and the Pistons. They have the luxury of timeouts. We don't. We have to operate every day. Today, fighting a war, if you will, but we also have to be, as I said, very mindful of creating the future so that when the future gets here, this institution will be as ready as it is today to meet the nation's needs.
Your description of the scale of the Air Force was very interesting and context-setting. I'm curious in terms of some of the management challenges the scale presents. How do you communicate with a group that large?
Interesting question. I think that you use several channels to do that. And the one that my preference is face-to-face. So I make it a point. I don't travel as frequently, for instance, as my boss does, the Secretary of the Air Force or General Jumper. Both of them do. They travel quite a bit. And in fact, they do that primarily to get the word out, to connect with our 700,000 strong workforce, airmen, civilian airmen, and so forth. And so in some ways, I try to mimic that as well, visiting as many bases as I can so that I can connect and let those folks know, both, let me say, not only financial managers at work, and I have about 10,000 of these folks that are distributed throughout the Air Force, not only to connect with them and let them know that I care about them. I love them. I love what they're doing, and I appreciate their contributions. But also, the wider Air Force is not necessarily involved in financial management. The maintainers, the logisticians, the civil engineers, all of those folks, the communicators. I go out there to try and reach out and touch them and let them know that folks like myself are back here in the Pentagon doing everything that we can to give them the resources that they need to do their job. So it is a mixture of having face-to-face contact. It's a mixture of using these kinds of opportunities that we're doing this morning to reach out and let folks know what we're about, what we do, and how we're contributing to the defense of the nation.
Interesting. Transformation is taking place within the Department of Defense, and the Air Force's financial management organization is no exception. What's the transformational plan for financial management in the Air Force? We'll ask Mike Montelongo of the Air Force when the Business of Government Hour continues.